Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Job. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of the book of Job, the oldest book in the Old Testament. And we're at chapter 25, but I wanted to discuss a little of chapters 23 and 24 before we move forward. Eliphaz had accused Job in this third debate of stealing from poor people, oppressing the poor, oppressing the orphans, oppressing the widows. And of course, widows and orphans in the Old Testament were representative of the poor. And they were seen as the poor because they were poor. In fact, they were very poor. If a widow was destitute of family, she had no one to care for her, and she could not care for herself because she was without a man. And men were important in the scheme of things. They had made themselves so. And men, if they were so important, then were in charge of any labor. They were in charge of the women. If a man died, the next in line kinsman was to take her on as his wife. And if there was no kinsman to do that, if there was a brother, of course, the brother was supposed to take her into the family and make sure that she was taken care of. There was a system of caring for those that were poor. But there were some that were destitute. They had no family. They were into an area where there was no redeemer kinsman, and they had no one to take care of them. And these are the people that Eliphaz said Job was oppressing. Of course, we know that was not the case. And so Job, in his rebuttal, declared that his longing for God is absolutely complete in his heart, and he is innocent. He said, my conduct, the way that I move, how I view life, what I do is his innocence. When he is tried in the fire, he will be found as gold. The human being, Job, does not have the dross of inconsistencies or cleverly concealed evil. It's not there. He is gold. He is truly righteous in Almighty God. Now, our righteousness, let's understand, our righteousness is not in and of ourselves. If our righteousness was our own, if we were able to be righteous, then we would not have need of the very absolutely and all-sufficient death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would have no need for Almighty God to work within us if our righteousness, if our own personal righteousness was complete in and of itself, but it is not. We're told throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, our righteousness is as filthy rags, worthless items. Now, Eliphaz has charged him in chapter 22, verse 22, with not keeping God's law. And he had done that in several ways, but especially in that verse. And here, Job, in chapter 23, claims to have kept God's law completely. Job acknowledges that his suffering is in the will of God. But the very thought that God would allow him to suffer troubles him. And I'm sure that you have faced that as well. Some have asked why. God does not always answer why. In fact, very seldom does God answer why in this life. We can reason. We can, with some sort of intuition or some sort of deduction, we can come up with an idea of why God is doing things, but we are as likely to be false about it as we are to be correct. Look at Eliphaz, and look at Bildad, and look at Zophar, how wrong their conclusions, their ideas are. They were totally off the mark when it came to how God works. Now, in chapter 24, Job complains that God does not have fixed times for the punishment of evildoers. These who remove the landmarks, these who drive away the donkeys of the fatherless, these who take the widow's ox for a pledge, these that do not return the cloak that's been given as a pledge. God does not immediately strike them down dead or give them leprosy or cause them to become halt or maim. No. God doesn't do that on a timetable. And here Job is decrying the fact that rampant evil in the world seems to be tolerated by Almighty God. You remember, oftentimes in the Psalms, David would cry out and ask God, how long are you going to allow the wicked to prosper? Now, that runs contrary, of course, to the argument that Eliphaz has had, which is that the godly prosper and the wicked suffer. And yet, we know that Eliphaz is incorrect, and the psalmist David was correct in what he was writing. Now, let's go to verse 25 there of Job 24. And we see Job says it this way, And if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth? He says, if you have a different idea, let me know. Well, of course, Bildad is going to be right there to do that. And Bildad's going to answer him in Job chapter 25. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Bildad doesn't attempt to prove Job wrong. He simply declares that Job is presumptuous. He's presumptuous in thinking that he can argue with God. Now, Job answers him very quickly. These are some of the shorter chapters. Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom, and how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, in the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me. So long as I live, let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword. If his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread, those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep, though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the day, as the clay. In other words, he's got more silver than he could ever use, and he has more clothing than the dirt of the ground. He may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. Here is Bildad's third speech and Job's third reply. Now, we're not finished yet. We continue there in chapter 28 and 29 and continuing. I mean, Job's got a lot to say. He's got a lot to say to Bildad. Now he's saying a lot of things to all three of them. Job sarcastically accuses Bildad of not having an original thought in his head. You go up to 26, verses 1 through 4. To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? You don't have an original thought at all. He's giving here an accurate, scientific description of the earth in Job chapter 26. He talks about dead things formed under the waters, stretcheth out over the north, over the empty place, hangeth the earth upon nothing, bindeth the waters in the thick clouds, etc., and etc. Compass the waters with bounds until the night and day come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble, astonished at his reproof. Divideth the sea by his power. All of these things are scientifically accurate, and they describe the earth. Here we see that God gave Job great insight. In Job 26:14, lo, these are parts of his ways, parts of God's ways, not the whole thing. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Job is saying here how much knowledge of God there is beyond what we can see and hear. It is beyond our comprehension. Here we are, piddly little ants upon the earth, as it were, And yet God's magnificence and glory is so great, so great. And we don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't know it because we are not great enough to know about God. Job has struck upon the truth, and he does throughout these commentaries. And then in verse 27, he says, basically, so long as life is in me and the breath of God, my lips shall not sin. He said, my tongue will not utter deceit. My lips shall not speak wickedness. I will be innocent until I die, he says. And so we see that Job is projecting forth his innocence, whereas his friends are doing their best to make him feel guilty, even though he isn't. There in chapter 27, when you get past verse 7, let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteousness. Some scholars think that that's should be a chapter division there, and that the verses 8 and following would be a debate speech by Zophar. We do not know if that's true or not, but this is what some scholars say, and here this is the narrative that either Zophar or Job gives about how that the portion of the wicked is with God. The heritage of the oppressors they'll get from Almighty God. They will enjoy no lasting prosperity. It's a shelter of leaves and twigs. It'll fall down around them. And here we see it, verse 23, men shall clap their hands at him. That applause is not applause because people appreciate them. It is a derision. And they shall hiss him out of his place. They'll tell him to be removed. And so now we continue in Job 28. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Now, we would say refine it, where they put it through the fire. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to the darkness and searcheth out all perfection. The stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They're dried up. They're gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as if it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath the dust gold. It hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The golden crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, or the price of wisdom is above rubies. Notice we stop right there just for a second. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve him.